You're listening to WCBN FM Ann Arbor, where I've got the Monkey Power Trio in the studio for an interview. You just heard what will be the A-side of their 9th record, which is coming out just in a couple weeks, right? You can order it now?
That's right. It's being pressed as we speak, and the vinyls are being melted, whatever. Pressed.
And it's available on monkeypowertrio.com.
Monkeypowertrio.com, which has lots of cool... You can actually listen to all this stuff on there, too, right?
Mm-hmm. All the MP3s are there for free.
Everything's there. It's complete.
All right. And this record is, you were saying, the first female appearance in the Monkey Power Trio?
That's right. As a band, we had our first woman...
Collectively,
we had our first woman this year, a woman by the name of Ann Wing Shapiro, who played ukulele this year.
Thanks, Ann.
You felt it was important to bring in ukulele to pull off disco like that?
Well, we couldn't be done without it.
We always thought that was the missing ingredient to disco.
That's what was holding you back from doing disco before.
Science, yes. Pretty much redefined the genre.
Yeah, when you think about what the greats have done in the past, I think what we talked about is in the past is having like a guest person maybe for the last hour of the session. That's what we did with Ann this year. We did our whole thing first, and then we said 1 hour before we go, let's bring in an old friend of ours. Mm. We might do that in the future too. But
and we had done it once in the past in 1998.
A former CBN DJ, Brian Tubbs, joined us for an hour.
Oh. Cool. Do you guys have like specific roles in the band, instruments?
Yeah, we pretty much do.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the things that we've been noticing.
Dave's a professional bass player. He can't play bass. He's got to play drums.
Oh, okay.
The spirit of the thing would have us, normally like switching instruments and messing around, but we don't do that. We pretty much stay on our instruments and,
what is the lineup instrument-wise?
It kind of sucks because, I'd like to do other stuff, but, the way it works out, Dave's always on drums, Matt's always on the horn and wind instruments and other weird kind of instruments. Dan and Mike both play guitar. Sometimes they switch off to bass, and then I usually end up singing. But it's kind of too... almost too much so lately.
Well, there has been a couple songs where Matt's sung and Mark's played guitar. Mm. Well, as a matter of fact.
Mark says he's going to play more instruments, but nobody else really wants to sing.
Mark's the lead singer on all this stuff?
Most of the release stuff has Mark on vocals, but not all of it. Mm. We have a lot of outtakes that have other people doing vocals, but they don't usually make the final cut.
We try, yeah. Yeah, people try.
But Mark usually does most of the vocals.
It's nice to have other people try.
Mm. How many songs do you usually do in an afternoon or a year?
That's a good question.
20 at least. This year, I think we had about 40. 25 to... Oh, was it 40?
We had 40 tracks.
Takes, yeah.
40 tracks, probably 25 to 30 songs.
Yeah, so we'll do 6 hours of recording. We'll mix it all down to 40 songs. We'll pick the best 4 of those songs, and those go out on the records.
I think the most takes of any song that we've ever done is 7.
Uh-huh.
And that was way... too many.
Yeah,
that was a song that never made it, called Garage Sale, I believe.
No, it was El Camino.
Or El Camino. That's another one, I guess. But everything, I say 2 to 3 takes of each song, and then we get bored and we're moving on, or we just forget it within that time.
I think we established the 4 takes max rule because we started, we work on a song and we do it 7 or 8 times, and it just never came together. So we realized that we only have a limited amount of time per afternoon. So We do 4 takes max now.
Yeah, sort of
I think that's... It's not an ironclad rule.
Not that we live by rules.
But,
except for the no rules.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of rules and for such, kind of like a free, free rock kind of group.
Well, rock should be free.
Why do you choose so many rules?
We'd all agree, I think, that there aren't enough rules in life, so...
Uh-huh.
It's also, I think... When we started to get a little bit of attention and we started putting pressure on ourselves, more pressure each year, we did pretty good last year, but we might have a year where we go in and we don't get anything, that could happen. Sort of have that fear.
Just sort of insurance against that.
Yeah.
So we try to
keep moving so that we don't waste our time on a song that's just none of us want to release.
Right. What are the big what is the big successes? I guess we made allusions to it before, but you had that song, yeah, You Gotta Have Hope.
You Gotta Have Hope. Mark sent it to a friend to annoy him when he had a hangover, I think. And
we had a friend of a friend who worked for an ad agency, and his boss had a hangover, and he had the new Monkey Power record, and he decided to send him that song as a joke because of the high piercing horn parts that Matt had recorder parts that Matt had produced. And the guy got it, and somehow it didn't make him sick. He actually quite liked it, and he put it on a CD for his customer, who was Fox Sports, along with a bunch of other, I think there were 20 tracks they were sending to their client, Fox Sports. So along with Barry White,
Marvin Gaye,
or I forget who it was, Marvin Gaye and 19 other tracks, and they chose us, and then we got that contract. We probably chose us because we were the cheapest, but...
Yeah, it was down between us and Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, it came down to us and Marvin Gaye, and we kicked that dead man's ass.
And it was a 30-second station ID spot that ran pretty heavily all over the country for a year.
April 2000 to 2001, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And we got calls from people, like friends that recognized my voice, like watching The Simpsons. I think we had a friend that...
That's all about you, isn't it, Mark?
No, but that's what they would recognize, Mike.
Up here, Mark.
Woohoo!
Did that result in financial success, or...?
Yeah, it paid for a couple sessions for the next couple of years, for recording sessions, and actually it was a turning point for the band, because then we were able to go into a studio and record with engineers instead of...
phones.
Yeah. It was less a DIY and more DI.
Yeah, the usual, the early sessions we started out... The first one we recorded on a boombox in the basement in Brooklyn, and then... Later, we recorded, I think, on two tracks out of a four-track recorder, and then
that's when we plugged in the instruments.
We've upgraded, and now we spend time in studios instead. So we have made some progress on the fidelity front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this year, and Dave can probably speak most to the fidelity, but this year, I think anyone that bought it would be pleasantly surprised by the fidelity. Perhaps Dave could.
Yeah, well, this year is different. We had it. We had the whole thing done at a studio. We didn't do any of the mixing or anything
from
start to finish. So we had it mastered at a studio in Brooklyn. And,
what Mark's trying to point out is this year's record's going to sound really good because Dave didn't mix it. We had somebody else do it.
That's not quite what I meant.
You don't see that as any sort of like compromise of like DIY ethics?
I think the jury's out on that. We won't be able to tell until the project's over.
We still approved it, and we told them
which
how
only
we wanted,
one of us will be around.
We told them how we wanted to mix it, so it wasn't completely out of our hands. And then he sent us stuff, and we sent it back and said we'd actually like this changed and this changed. But he was doing, I think Dave said, some sort of analog mixing is why it was better. I don't know anything about music, but Dave knows more about it than anyone, but he said it was something to do with an analog mixer, and that was giving us a better sound than we had had before.
That's right.
So
it's not overproduced by any means.
Mm.
I mean, we don't want anything like that. Special effects, that's not... he's not going to add a track or any sound effects or any type of...
Right. There are no overdubs or anything. Everything is completely live. We've never, I don't think, added any tracks later or anything. Mm-hmm. So it's all...
No.
The person's hands mixing it is kind of... They're kind of tied. They can't really do anything with it.
That's another rule we have.
They have to mix with their hands tied.
Hands tied.
Push the knobs with their nose.
All right, well, let's go into an outtake from last year. Is that what these are? Or these are just random outtakes from different years, right?
Named an outtake. We'll tell you what year. Yeah.
Sniper at the Gates of Dawn?
That's from last year.
I don't even remember
that.
That's
from last
year.
Sure, it's
fine. Yeah. Everything's
that's
good.
From 2003.
There's probably a reason this didn't make it.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll find out.